What matters is whether your reason to be in academia is good enough. Suddenly, something clicked in her brain. The deep voice, the blurry dark hair, the crisp, precise way of talking. Could the guy in the bathroom and Adam be? No, impossible. The guy was a student. Though, had he explicitly said so? No. No, what he'd said was, this is my lab's bathroom, and that he'd been there for 6 years, and he hadn't answered when she'd asked about his dissertation timeline and... Impossible. Improbable. Inconceivable. Just like everything else about Adam and Olive. Oh, God. What if they'd really met years ago? He probably didn't remember anyway. Surely. Olive had been no one. Still was no one. She thought about asking him, but why? He had no idea that a 5-minute conversation with him had been the exact push Olive needed, that she'd thought about him for years. Olive remembered her last words to him. Maybe I'll see you next year. And oh, if only she'd known. She felt a surge of something warm and soft in the squishy part of herself that she guarded most carefully. She looked at Adam, and it swelled even larger, even stronger, even hotter. You, she thought. You. You are just the most. The worst. The best. Olive laughed, shaking her head. What? He asked, puzzled. Nothing. She grinned at him. Nothing. Hey, you know what? You and I should go get coffee. To celebrate.
Celebrate what?
Everything. Your grant. My year at Harvard. How great our fake dating is going. It was probably unfair of her to ask, since they were not due for fake dating coffee until tomorrow. But the previous Wednesday had lasted just a few short minutes, and since Friday night, there had been about 30 times when Olive had to forcibly remove her phone from her hands to avoid texting him things he couldn't possibly care about. He didn't need to know that he was right, and the problem with her Western blot had been the antibody. There was no way he'd have answered her if, on Saturday at 10 p.m., when she'd been dying to know if he was in his office, she had sent that, "Hey, what are you up to?" message that she'd written and deleted twice. And she was glad she'd ended up chickening out, affording him that Onion article on sun safety tips. It was probably unfair of her to ask, and yet today was a momentous day, and she found herself wanting to celebrate. With him. He bit the inside of his cheek, looking pensive.
Would it be actual coffee or chamomile tea?
Depends. Will you go all moody on me?
I will if you get the pumpkin stuff.
She rolled her eyes. You have no taste. Her phone pinged with a reminder. Oh, we should go to Flucella too, before coffee. A vertical line appeared between his brows.
I'm afraid to ask what that is.
Flucella, Olive repeated, though it was clearly not helpful, judging from how the line bisecting his forehead deepened. Mass flu vaccination for faculty, staff, and students, at no charge. Adam made a face.
It's called Flucella?
Yep, like the festival. Coachella? Adam was clearly not familiar. Don't you get university emails about this stuff? There have been at least 5.
I have a great spam filter.
Olive frowned. Does it block Stanford emails too? Because it shouldn't. It might end up filtering out important messages from admin and students and... Adam arched one eyebrow. Oh, right. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. He doesn't need to know how much he makes you laugh. Well, we should go get our flu shots.
I'm good.
You got one already?
No.
I'm pretty sure it's mandatory for everyone. The set of Adam's shoulders clearly broadcasted that he was, in fact, not everyone.
I never get sick.
I doubt it.
You shouldn't.
Hey, the flu is more serious than you might think.
It's not that bad.
It is,
especially for people like you.
Like me?
You know, people of a certain age. His mouth twitched as he turned into the campus parking lot.
You smartass.
Come on, she leaned forward, poking his biceps with her index finger. They had touched so much at this point, in public and alone and a mixture of the two. It didn't feel weird. It felt good and natural, like when Olive was with Ann or Malcolm. Let's go together. He didn't budge. Parallel parking in a spot that would have taken Olive about 2 hours of maneuvering to fit into.
I don't have time.
You just agreed to go get coffee. You must have some time. He finished parking in less than a minute and pressed his lips together, not answering her. Why don't you want to get the shot? She studied him suspiciously. Are you some kind of anti-vaxxer?
Oh, if looks could kill.
Okay. She furrowed her brow. Then why?
It's not worth the hassle.
Was he fidgeting a little? Was he biting the inside of his lip? It literally takes 10 minutes. She reached for him, tugging at the sleeve of his shirt. You get there, they scan your university badge, they give you the shot. She felt his muscles tense under her fingertips as she said the last word. Easy peasy. And the best part is, you don't get the flu for a whole year. Totally.
Oh.
Olive covered her mouth with her hand.
What?
Oh my God.
What?
Are you? Oh, Adam.
What?
Are you afraid of needles? He went still, completely immobile. He wasn't breathing anymore.
I'm not afraid of needles.
It's okay, she said, making her tone as reassuring as possible.
I know, since I'm not.
This is a safe space for you and your fear of needles.
There is no fear of.
I get it. Needles are scary.
It's not.
You are allowed to be scared.
I am not,
he told her, a little too forcefully, and then turned away, clearing his throat and scratching the side of his neck. Olive pressed her lips together and then said, Well, I used to be scared. He looked at her, curious, so she continued. As a child, she had to clear her throat. My mother would have to hold me in a bear hug every time I needed a shot, or I'd thrash around too much, and she had to bribe me with ice cream. But the problem was that I wanted it immediately after my shot. She laughed. So she'd buy an ice cream sandwich before the doctor's appointment, and by the time I was ready to eat, it'd be all melted in her purse and make a huge mess and... Damn it. She was weepy again, in front of Adam, again.
She sounds lovely, Adam said.
She was.
And to be clear, I'm not afraid of needles, he repeated.
This time his tone was warm and kind.
They just feel disgusting.
She sniffled and looked up at him. The temptation to hug him was almost irresistible. But she'd already done that today, so she made do with patting him on the arm.
Aw. He pinned her with a withering look. Don't awe me.
Adorable. He was adorable. No, really, they are gross. Stuff pokes at you and then you bleed. The feeling of it? Yikes. She got out of the car and waited for him to do the same. When he joined her, she smiled at him reassuringly. I get it.
You do?
He didn't seem convinced. Yep, they're horrible. He was still a little distrustful.
They are.
And scary. She wrapped her hand around his elbow and began to pull him in the direction of the Flucella tent. Still, you need to get over it. For science, I'm taking you to get a flu shot. This is non-negotiable. I'll hold your hand, Deering.
I don't need you to hold my hand, since I'm not going.
Except that he was going. He could have planted his feet and stood his ground,
and he would have turned into an immovable object. Olive would have had no way of dragging him anywhere. And yet. She let her hand slide down to his wrist and looked up at him.
You so are. Please.
He looked pained.
Don't make me.
He was so adorable. It's for your own good, and for the good of the elderly people who might come in any proximity to you, even more elderly than you, that is.
He sighed, defeated. Olive.
Come on. Maybe we're lucky and the chair will spot us, and I'll buy you an ice cream sandwich afterward.
Will I be paying for this ice cream sandwich?
He sounded resigned now. Likely. Actually, scratch that. You probably don't like ice cream anyway, because you don't enjoy anything that's good in life. She kept on walking, pensively chewing on her lower lip. Maybe the cafeteria has some raw broccoli?
I don't deserve this verbal abuse on top of the flu shot.
She beamed. You're such a trooper, even though the big bad needle is out to get you.
You are a smartass.
And yet, he didn't resist when she continued to pull him behind her. It was 10 on an early September morning, the sun already shining too bright and too hot through the cotton of Olive's shirt, the sweet gum leaves still a deep green and showing no sign of turning. It felt different from the past few years, this summer that didn't want to end, that was stretched full and ripe past the beginning of the semester. Undergrads must have been either dozing off in their mid-morning classes or still asleep in bed, because for once, that harried air of chaos that always coated the Stanford campus was missing. And Olive. Olive had a lab for next year. Everything she'd worked toward since 15, it was finally going to happen. Life didn't get much better than this. She smiled, smelling the flower beds and humming a tune under her breath as she and Adam walked quietly, side by side. As they made their way across the quad, her fingers slid down from his wrist and closed around his palm. Chapter 10. Hypothesis. If I fall in love, things will invariably end poorly. The knockout mouse had been hanging from a wire for a length of time that should have been impossible, considering how it had been genetically modified. Olive frowned at it and pressed her lips together. It was missing crucial DNA. All the hanging-from-a-wire proteins had been erased. There was no way it could hold on for this long. It was the whole point of knocking out its stupid genes. Her phone lit up, and the corner of her eye darted to its screen. She was able to read the name of the sender, Adam, but not the content of the message. It was 8:42 on Wednesday, which immediately had her worried that he might want to cancel their fake date. Maybe he thought that because he'd let Olive pick out an ice cream sandwich for him yesterday, after Flucella, which she may or may not have ended up eating herself, they didn't need to meet today. Maybe she shouldn't have forced him to sit on a bench with her and recount the marathons they had run. And possibly she had come off as annoying when she'd stolen his phone, downloaded her favorite running app, and then friended herself on it. He had seemed to be enjoying himself, but maybe he hadn't been. Olive glanced at her gloved hands and then back at her mouse, who was still holding on to the wire. Dude, stop trying so hard. She kneeled until she was at eye level with the cage. The mouse kicked around with its little legs, its tail flopping back and forth. You're supposed to be bad at this, and I'm supposed to write a dissertation about how bad you are. And then you get a chunk of cheese, and I get a real job that pays real money, and the joy of saying, I'm not that kind of doctor, when someone is having a stroke on my airplane. The mouse squeaked and let go of the wire, flopping on the floor of the testing cage with a thud. That'll do it. She quickly got rid of her gloves and unlocked her phone with her thumb. Adam.
My arm hurts.
She initially thought that he was giving her a reason why they couldn't meet up. Then she remembered waking up and rubbing her own achy arm. Olive. From the flu shot? Adam.
It's really painful.
She giggled. She truly had not thought she was the type to, but here she was, covering her mouth with her hand and, yes, giggling like a fool in the middle of the lab. Her mouse was staring up at her, its tiny red eyes a mix of judgment and surprise. Olive hastily turned away and looked back at her phone. Olive. Oh, Adam, I'm so sorry. Should I come over and kiss it better?
Adam. You never said it would hurt so bad.
Olive. As someone once told me, it's not my job to work on your emotion regulation skills.
Adam's answer was one single emoji, a yellow hand with a raised middle finger, and Olive's cheeks pulled with how hard she was grinning. She was about to reply with a kiss emoji when a voice interrupted her.
Gross.
She looked up from her phone. Ann stood in the lab's entrance, sticking out her tongue.
Hey, what are you doing here?
Borrowing gloves and being grossed out.
Olive frowned.
Why?
We're out of the small size.
Ann stepped inside, rolling her eyes.
Honestly, they never buy enough because I'm the only woman in the lab, but it's not like I don't go through gloves as fast as...
No, why are you grossed out?
Ann made a face and plucked two purple gloves from Olive's stash.
Because of how in love you are with Carlson, is it okay if I take a few pairs?
What are you?
Olive blinked at her, still clutching her phone. Was Ann going crazy?
I'm not in love with him.
Uh-huh, sure.
Ann finished stuffing her pockets with gloves and then looked up, finally noticing Olive's distressed expression. Her eyes widened.
Hey, I was kidding. You're not gross. I probably look the same when I'm texting Jeremy, and it's actually very sweet how gone you are for him.
But I'm not gone.
Olive was starting to panic.
It's just...
Ann pressed her lips together, as if biting back a smile.
Okay, if you say so.
No, I'm serious. We're just...
Dude, it's okay.
Ann's tone was reassuring and a little emotional.
It's just, you are so amazing and special. And honestly, my favorite person in the whole world. But sometimes I get worried that no one but Malcolm and me will ever get to experience how incredible you are. Well, until now. Now I'm not worried anymore, because I've seen you and Adam together at the picnic and in the parking lot. And every other time, really. You're both crazy in love and over the moon about it. It's cute. Except that first night, she added, pensive. I maintain that was pretty awkward.
Olive stiffened.
Ann, it's not like that. We're just dating, casually, hanging out, getting to know each other. We're not...
Okay, sure, if you say so.
Ann shrugged, clearly not believing a word of what Olive was saying.
Hey, I gotta go back to my bacterial culture. I'll come bug you when I'm on break, okay?
Olive nodded slowly, watching her friend's back as she headed for the door. Olive's heart skipped a beat when Ann paused and turned around, her expression suddenly serious.
All, I just want you to know that
I was very worried about you getting hurt from my dating Jeremy, but now I'm not anymore. Because I know what you really look like when you...
Well...
Ann gave her a sheepish grin. I won't say it if you don't want me to. She left with a wave of her hand, and Olive stood frozen, watching the doorframe long past the moment Ann had disappeared. Then she lowered her gaze to the floor, slumped on the stool behind her, and thought one single thing.
Shit.
It wasn't the end of the world. These things happened. Even the best of people developed crushes.
Ann had said love. Oh God, she had said love. On the person they were fake dating. It didn't mean anything. Except that, fuck. Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Olive locked the door of her office behind her and plopped herself into a chair.
hoping today wouldn't be the one time in the semester that her office mates decided to show up before 10 a.m. It was all her fault. Her stupid doing. She had known that she'd begun to find Adam attractive. She had known almost from the very beginning. And then she'd started talking with him. She'd started getting to know him, even though it was never part of the plan, and damn him to hell for being so different from what she'd expected, for making her want to be with him more and more. Damn him! It had been there, staring at Olive for the past few days, and she hadn't noticed, because she was an idiot. She stood abruptly and dug into her pocket for her phone, pulling up Malcolm's contact. Olive, we have to meet. Bless Malcolm, because it took him fewer than 5 seconds to answer. Malcolm.
Lunch?
I'm about to dig into the neuromuscular junction of a juvenile rat. Olive, I need to talk to you now. Olive, please? Malcolm.
Starbucks, in 10. I told you so.
Olive didn't bother lifting her forehead from the table. You didn't.
Well, maybe I didn't say, hey, don't do this fake dating shit because you're going to fall for Carlson. But I did say that the whole idea was idiotic and a car wreck waiting to happen, which I believe encompasses the current situation.
Malcolm was sitting across from her, by the window of the crowded coffee shop. Around them, students chatted, laughed, ordered drinks, rudely unaware of the sudden maelstrom in Olive's life. She pushed up from the cold surface of the table and pressed her palms into her eyes, not quite ready to open them yet. She might never be ready again. How could this happen? I am not like this. This is not me. How could I? And Adam Carlson, of everyone, who is into Adam Carlson? Malcolm snorted.
Everyone, all. He's a tall, broody, sullen hunk with a genius IQ. Everyone likes tall, broody, sullen hunks with genius IQs.
I don't.
Clearly you do.
She squeezed her eyes shut and whimpered. He's really not that sullen.
Oh, he is. Just, you don't notice, because you're halfway gone for him.
I am not. She smacked her forehead, repeatedly. Shit. He leaned forward and grabbed her hand, his skin dark and warm against hers.
Hey,
he told her, voice pitched to a comforting tone.
Settle down. We'll figure it out.
He even tacked on a smile. Olive loved him so much in that moment, even with all the I told you so's.
First of all, how bad is it?
I don't know. Is there a scale?
Well, there's liking, and there is liking.
She shook her head, feeling utterly lost. I just like him. I want to spend time with him.
Okay, that doesn't mean anything. You also want to spend time with me.
She grimaced, feeling herself blush scarlet. Not quite like that. Malcolm was quiet for a beat.
I see.
He knew how big of a deal this was for Olive. They'd talked about it multiple times. How rare it was for her to experience attraction, especially sexual attraction. If there was something wrong with her, if her past had stunted her in some way. God. She just wanted to retreat inside her hoodie like a turtle until it all went away. Go run a race. Start writing her dissertation proposal. Anything but deal with this. It was there, and I didn't figure it out. I just thought he was smart and attractive, and that he had a nice smile, and that we could be friends, and... She rubbed her palms into her eye sockets, wishing she could go back and erase her life choices the entire past month. Do you hate me?
Me?
Malcolm sounded surprised. Yes.
No. Why would I hate you?
Because he's been horrible to you. Made you throw out a ton of data. It's just, with me, he's not.
I know. Well, he amended, waving his hand. I don't know, but I can believe he's different with you than when he was in my damn graduate advisory committee.
You hate him.
Yeah, I hate him. Or I dislike him. But you don't have to dislike him because I do. Though, I do reserve the right to comment on your abysmal taste in men, every other day or so. But all, I saw you guys at the picnic. He definitely wasn't interacting with you like he does with me. Plus, you know, he added begrudgingly, he's not hot. I can see why you'd hit that.
This is not what you said when I first told you about the fake dating.
No, but I'm trying to be supportive here. You weren't in love with him at the time.
She groaned. Can we please not use that word ever again? It seems a little premature.
Sure. Malcolm brushed non-existent dust off his button down. Way to bring a rom-com to life, by the way. So, how are you going to break the news?
She massaged her temple. What do you mean?
Well, you have a thing for him, and you two are friendly. I'm assuming you're planning to inform him of your feelings? Can I use the word feelings?
No.
Whatever.
He rolled his eyes.
You're going to tell him, right?
Of course not. She snorted out a laugh. You can't tell the person you're fake dating that you... Her brain scanned itself for the correct word, didn't find it, and then stumbled on, like them? It's just not done. Adam will think I orchestrated this, that I was after him all along.
That's ridiculous. You didn't even know him at the time.
Maybe I did, though. Do you remember the guy I told you about, who helped me decide about grad school? The one I met in the bathroom over my interview weekend? Malcolm nodded. He might have been Adam, I think.
You think? You mean, you didn't ask him?
Of course not.
Why of course?
Because maybe it wasn't him, and if he was, he clearly doesn't remember, or he'd have mentioned it weeks ago.
He hadn't been the one wearing expired contacts after all.
Malcolm rolled his eyes.
Listen, Olive, he said earnestly, I need you to consider something. What if Adam likes you too? What if he wants something more?
She laughed. There is no way.
Why not?
Because.
Because what?
Because he's him. He's Adam Carlson, and I... She trailed off. No need to continue. And I'm me. I am nothing special. Malcolm was quiet for a long moment.
You have no idea, do you?
His tone was sad.
You're great. You're beautiful and loving. You're independent and a genius scientist, and selfless and loyal. Hell, all? Look at this ridiculous mess you created, just so your friend could date the guy she likes without feeling guilty. There's no way Carlson hasn't noticed.
No. She was resolute. Don't get me wrong. I do think he likes me, but he thinks of me as a friend. And if I tell him and he doesn't want to...
To what? Doesn't want to fake date you anymore? It's not like you have much to lose.
Maybe not. Maybe all the talking and those looks Adam gave her, and him shaking his head when she ordered extra whipped cream, the way he let himself be teased out of his moods, the texts, how he seemed to be so at ease with her, so noticeably different from the Adam Carlson she used to be half scared of. Maybe all of that was not much. But she and Adam were friends now, and they could remain friends even past September 29th. Olive's heart sank at the thought of giving up the possibility of it. I do, though. Malcolm sighed, once again enveloping her hand with his.
You have it bad, then.
She pressed her lips together, blinking rapidly to push back the tears. Maybe I do. I don't know. I've never had it before. I've never wanted to have it. He smiled reassuringly, even though Olive felt anything but reassured.
Listen, I know it's scary, but this is not necessarily a bad thing.
One single tear was making its way down Olive's cheek,
She hastened to clean it with her sleeve. It's the worst.
You've finally found someone you're into. And okay, it's Carlson, but this could still turn out to be great.
It couldn't. It can't.
All, I know where you're coming from. I get it.
Malcolm's hand tightened on hers.
I know it's scary, being vulnerable, but you can allow yourself to care. You can want to be with people as more than just friends or casual acquaintances.
But I can't.
I don't see why not.
Because all of the people I've cared about are gone, she snapped. Somewhere in the coffee shop, the barista called for a caramel macchiato. Olive immediately regretted her harsh words. I'm sorry. It's the way it works. My mom, my grandparents, my father. One way or another, everyone is gone. If I let myself care, Adam will go too.
There. She'd put it into words, said it out loud, and it sounded all the truer because of it.
Malcolm exhaled.
Oh, all.
He was one of the few people to whom Olive had opened up about her fears, the constant feeling of not belonging, the never-ending suspicion that since so much of her life had been spent alone, then it would end the same way, that she'd never be worthy of someone caring for her. His knowing expression, a combination of sorrow and understanding and pity, was unbearable to watch. She looked elsewhere, at the laughing students, at the coffee cup lids stacked next to the counter, at the stickers on a girl's MacBook, and slid her hand away from under his palm.
You should go.
She attempted a smile, but it felt wobbly. Finish your surgeries. He didn't break eye contact.
I care. On cares. On would have chosen you over Jeremy. And you care too. We all care about one another, and I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere.
It's different.
How?
Olive didn't bother answering and used her sleeve to dry her cheek. Adam was different, and what Olive wanted from him was different, but she didn't want to articulate it. Not now.
I won't tell him.
All.
No, she said, firm. With her tears gone, she felt marginally better. Maybe she was not who she had thought, but she could fake it. She could pretend, even to herself.
I'm not going to tell him. It's a horrible idea.
All.
How would that conversation even work? How would I phrase it? What are the right words?
Actually, you should probably...
Do I tell him that I'm into him? That I think about him all the time? That I have a huge crush on him? That...
Olive.
In the end, what tipped her off was not Malcolm's words, or his panicky expression, or the fact that he was clearly looking at a spot somewhere above her shoulders. In the end, Ann chose that exact moment to text her, which drew Olive's eyes to the numbers on the screen. 10 a.m. It was 10, on a Wednesday morning, and Olive was currently sitting in the campus Starbucks, the very same Starbucks where she had spent her Wednesday mornings for the past few weeks. She whirled around and... She wasn't even surprised to find Adam, standing behind her. Close enough that, unless both his eardrums had ruptured since the last time they'd talked, he must have heard every single word that came out of Olive's mouth. She wished she could expire on the spot. She wished she could crawl outside her body and this cafe, melt in a pool of sweat, and seep between the tiles on the floor, just vanish into thin air. But all these things were currently beyond her skill set. So she fixed a weak smile on her face and looked up at Adam. Chapter 11. Hypothesis. Whenever I lie, things will get worse by a factor of 743. Did you hear that? She blurted out. Malcolm hurried to clear the table of his stuff, muttering tightly,
I was just about to go.
Olive barely noticed. busy watching Adam slide the chair back to sit across from her.
Shit.
Yes, he said, bland and even.
And Olive felt like she was about to disintegrate into a million tiny pieces, here, in this exact spot. She wanted him to take it back. Wanted him to say, no, heard what? She wanted to go back to earlier this morning and rewind it all, this horrible mess of a day. Not look at the text on her phone. Not let Ann walk in on her mooning over her fake boyfriend. Not pour her heart out to Malcolm in the worst possible place. Adam couldn't know. He simply couldn't. He'd think that Olive had kissed him on purpose, that she'd masterminded this whole fiasco, that she'd manipulated him into this situation. He'd feel compelled to break up with her well before he could reap any benefits from their arrangement. And he would hate her. The prospect was terrifying. So she said the one thing she could think of. It wasn't about you. The lie rolled off her tongue like a mudslide. Unpremeditated, quick, and bound to leave a huge mess behind.
I know.
He nodded, and he didn't even look surprised. It was as though it had never occurred to him that Olive might have been interested in him. It made her want to cry. A frequent state on this stupid morning. But instead of doing that, she just vomited out another lie. I have a thing for a guy. He nodded again, this time slowly. His eyes darkened, and the corner of his jaw twitched, just for a moment. She blinked, and his expression was blank again.
Yeah, I gathered that.
This guy, he's... She swallowed. What was he? Quick, Olive. Quick. An immunologist? Icelandic? A giraffe? What was he?
You don't have to explain if you don't want.
Adam's voice seemed slightly offbeat, but also comforting. Tired. Olive realized that she was wringing her hands, and instead of stopping, she simply hid them under the table. It's just that...
It's okay.
He offered her a reassuring smile, and Olive, she couldn't possibly look at him, not a second longer. She averted her eyes, desperately wishing she had something to say, something to fix this. Right outside the cafe's window, a group of undergrads were huddling together in front of a laptop, laughing at something playing on the screen. A gust of wind scattered a stack of notes, and a boy scrambled to retrieve them. In the distance, Dr. Rodriguez was walking in the direction of Starbucks.
Our arrangement.
Adam's voice pulled her back inside. To the lies and the table between them. To the gentle, soft way he was talking to her. Kind. He'd been so kind. Adam, I used to think the worst of you, and now?
It's supposed to help both of us. If it stops doing so.
No. Olive shook her head. She forced her face into a smile. It's complicated.
I see.
She opened her mouth to say that no, he couldn't possibly see. He couldn't possibly see anything, because Olive had just made all of this up. This clusterfuck of a situation. I don't. She wet her lips. There is no need to stop our arrangement early because I can't tell him that I like him. Because I...
Dude.
A hand clapped on Adam's shoulder.
Since when are you not in your office? Oh, I see.
Dr. Rodriguez's gaze slid from Adam to Olive and settled on her. For a second, he just stood by the table and took her in, surprised to find her there. Then his mouth widened into a slow grin.
Hey, Olive.
During Olive's first year of grad school, Dr. Rodriguez had been on her pre-assigned graduate advisory committee, an admittedly odd choice, given his relative lack of relevance to her research. And yet Olive had mostly pleasant memories of her interactions with him. When she'd stammered her way through her committee meetings, he'd always been the first to smile at her, and once he'd even complimented her Star Wars t-shirt, and then proceeded to hum the Darth Vader theme under his breath every time Dr. Moss would start one of her rants against Olive's methods.
Hey, Dr. Rodriguez.
She was positive that her smile was not nearly as convincing as it should have been.
How are you?
He waved a hand.
Psh, please, call me Holden. You're not my student anymore.
He patted Adam on the back with relish.
And you have the very dubious pleasure of dating my oldest, most socially impaired friend.
It was all Olive could do not to let her jaw drop. They were friends? Charming, devil-may-care Holden Rodriguez and surly, taciturn Adam Carlson were old friends. Was this something she was supposed to know? Adam's girlfriend would have known, right?
Dr. Rodriguez.
Holden? God, Holden. She was never going to get used to the fact that professors were real people and had first names. Turned to Adam, who appeared untroubled by having been decreed socially impaired. He asked,
You're leaving for Boston tonight, right?
And his speech pattern changed a little, pitched lower and faster, more casual, comfortable. They really were old friends.
Yeah, can you still give Tom and me a ride to the airport?
Depends.
On what?
Is Tom going to be gagged and tied up in the trunk?
Adam sighed.
Holden. I'll allow him in the back seat, but if he doesn't keep his mouth shut, I'll ditch him on the highway.
Fine, I'll let him know.
Holden seemed satisfied.
Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt.
He patted Adam's shoulder once more, but he was looking at Olive.
It's okay.
Really?
Well then.
His smile broadened, and he pulled up a chair from a nearby table. Adam closed his eyes, resigned.
So, what are we talking about?
Why, I was just in the middle of lying my ass off, thank you for asking. Nothing much. How do you two... She looked between them, clearing her throat. Sorry, I forgot how you and Adam know each other. A thud. Holden kicking Adam under the table.
You little shit. You didn't tell her about our decades-deep history?
Just trying to forget.
You wish.
Holden turned to grin at her.
We grew up together.
She frowned at Adam. I thought you grew up in Europe. Holden waved his hand.
He grew up all over the place, and so did I, since our parents worked together. Diplomats, the worst kind of people. But then our family settled in D.C.
He leaned forward.
Guess who went to high school, college, and grad school together?
Olive's eyes widened, and Holden noticed, at least judging by how he kicked Adam again.
You really haven't told her shit. I see you're still going for brooding and mysterious.
He rolled his eyes fondly and looked at me again.
Did Adam tell you that he almost didn't graduate high school? He got suspended for punching a guy who insisted that the Large Hadron Collider would destroy the planet. Interesting how you're not mentioning that you got suspended alongside me for doing the exact same thing.
Holden ignored him.
My parents were out of the country on some kind of assignment and briefly forgot that I existed, so we spent the week at my place playing Final Fantasy. It was glorious.
What about when Adam applied to law school?
He must have told you about that. I never technically applied to law school.
Lies. All lies.
Did he at least tell you that he was my prom date?
It was phenomenal.
Olive looked at Adam, expecting him to deny that too. But Adam just half-smiled, met Holden's eyes, and said,
It was quite phenomenal.
Picture this, Olive. Early 2000s. Preppy, ridiculously expensive, all-male DC school. Two gay students in grade 12. Well, two of us that were out, anyway. Richie Moeller and I date for the entirety of senior year. And then he dumps me, 3 days before prom, for some guy he'd been having a thing with for months.
He was a prick,
Adam muttered.
I have three choices. Not go to the dance and mope at home, go alone and mope at school, or have my best friend, who was planning on staying home and moping over gamma aminobutyric acids, come as my date. Guess which?
Olive gasped. How did you convince him?
That's the thing. I didn't. When I told him about what Richie did, he offered.
Don't get used to it,
Adam mumbled.
Can you believe it, Olive?
that Adam would pretend to be in a relationship with someone to get them out of a miserable situation?
Nope. We held hands, we slow danced, we made Richie spit out his punch and regret every single one of his wretched choices. Then we went home and played even more Final Fantasy. It was the shit.
It was surprisingly fun,
Adam conceded, almost reluctantly. Olive looked at him, and a realization dawned on her. Holdem was Adam's on, his person. It was obvious that Adam and Tom were very close too, but the relationship that Adam had with Holden was something else, and Olive had no idea what to do with this piece of information. Maybe she should tell Malcolm. He'd either have a field day or go completely berserk.
Well, Holden said, standing up, this was fantastic. I'll go get coffee, but we should hang out soon, the three of us. I can't remember the last time I had the pleasure of embarrassing Adam in front of a girlfriend. For now, though, he's all yours.
He followed the word yours with a smirk that had Olive blushing. Adam rolled his eyes when Holden left for the coffee counter. Fascinated, Olive followed him with her gaze for several moments. That was...
Holden for you.
Adam seemed barely annoyed. She nodded, still a little dazed. I can't believe I'm not your first.
My first.
Your first fake date.
Right. I guess prom qualifies.
He seemed to mull it over.
Holden has had some bad luck with relationships. Undeserved bad luck.
It warmed her chest, the protective concern in his tone. Made her wonder if he was even aware of it. Did he and Tom ever? He shook his head.
Holden would be outraged if he knew you asked.
Why doesn't he want to drive Tom to the airport then? Adam shrugged.
Holden has always had a very deep, very irrational dislike of Tom, ever since grad school.
Oh, why?
Not sure. Not sure Holden knows either. Tom says he's jealous. I think it's just a personality thing.
Olive fell silent, absorbing the information. You didn't tell Holden about us either, that it's not real.
No.
Why? Adam looked away.
I don't know.
His jaw tensed.
I think I just didn't.
His voice trailed off, and he shook his head before giving her a smile, small and a little forced.
He speaks very highly of you, you know.
Holden? Of me?
Of your work and your research.
Oh. She had no idea what to say to that. When did you talk about me, and why? Oh, she repeated uselessly. She wasn't sure why now, in this very moment, but the possible ramifications of their arrangement on Adam's life hit her in full for the first time. They had agreed to fake date because they both had something to gain from it, but it occurred to her that Adam also had significantly more to lose. Out of all the people she loved, Olive was only lying to one, On, and that was absolutely unavoidable. She could not care less about other students' opinions. Adam, though, he was lying on a daily basis to his colleagues and his friends. His grads interacted with him every day, believing that he was dating one of their peers. Did they think him lecherous? Had his relationship with Olive changed their perception of him? And what about other faculty members in the department or in adjacent programs? Just because dating a grad student was allowed, it didn't mean that it wasn't frowned upon. And what if Adam met, or had already met, someone he actually liked? When they'd struck their deal, he'd said he wasn't going to date, but that had been weeks ago. Olive herself had been convinced that she'd never be interested in dating anyone at the time. And didn't that make her want to laugh now, in a remarkably unfunny way? Not to mention that she alone was benefiting from their arrangement. Ann and Jeremy had bought her lie, but Adam's research funds were still frozen. And yet, he was still helping her despite all of this. And Olive was repaying his kindness by getting ideas and developing feelings that were sure to make him feel uncomfortable.
Do you want to get coffee?
Olive looked up from her hands. No. She cleared her throat against the burning sensation lodged behind her sternum. The idea of coffee made her nauseous. I think I need to go back to the lab. She bent down to retrieve her backpack, meaning to stand and leave immediately. But halfway through, a thought swept over her, and she found herself staring at him. He was sitting across from her with a concerned expression, a slight frown creasing his brow. She attempted a smile. We are friends, right? His frown deepened.
Friends?
Yes, you and I. He studied her for a long moment. Something new passed through his face, stark and a little sad, too fleeting to interpret.
Yes, Olive.
She nodded, unsure as to whether she should be feeling relieved. This was not how she'd thought today would go, and there was a strange pressure behind her eyelids, which had her sliding her arms through the straps of her backpack that much quicker. She waved him goodbye with a tremulous smile, and she'd have already been out of this damn Starbucks if he hadn't said, with that voice of his,
Olive.
She paused right in front of his chair and looked down at him. It was so odd to be the taller one for once.
This might be inappropriate, but...
His jaw shifted, and he closed his eyes for a second, as if to collect his thoughts.
Olive, you are really... You are extraordinary, and I cannot imagine that if you told Jeremy how you feel, he wouldn't...
He trailed off and then nodded, a punctuation of sorts, as his words and the way he'd said them brought her that much closer to tears. He thought it was Jeremy. Adam thought Olive had been in love with Jeremy when they'd begun their arrangement. He thought she was still in love with him, because she'd just told a half-assed lie that she was too afraid to take back, and it was going to happen. She was going to cry. And what she wanted most in the world was to not do it in front of Adam. I'll see you next week, okay? She didn't wait for his response and walked briskly toward the exit, her shoulder bumping into someone she should have apologized to. Once she was outside, she took a deep breath and marched to the biology building, trying to empty her mind, forcing herself to think about the section she was slated to TA later today, the fellowship application she'd promised Dr. Aslan she'd send by tomorrow, the fact that An's sister would be in town next weekend and had made plans to cook Vietnamese food for everyone. A chilly wind weaved through the leaves of the campus trees, pushing Olive's sweater against her body. She hugged herself and didn't look back to the cafe. Fall had finally begun. Chapter 12. Hypothesis. If I am bad at doing activity A, my chances of being asked to engage in activity A will rise exponentially. Campus felt strangely empty with Adam gone, even on days in which she likely wouldn't have met him anyway. It didn't make much sense. Stanford was most definitely not empty, but teeming with loud, annoying undergrads on their way to and from class. Olive's life, too, was full. Her mice were old enough for the behavioral assays to be run. She'd finally gotten revisions for a paper she'd submitted months earlier, and she had to start making concrete plans for her move to Boston next year. The class she was TAing had a test coming up, and undergrads magically began to pop by during office hours, looking panicky and asking questions that were invariably answered in the first three lines of the syllabus. Malcolm spent a couple of days trying to convince Olive to tell Adam the truth, and then became, thankfully, too discouraged by her stubbornness and too busy trying to meditate away his own dating drama to insist. He did bake several batches of butterscotch cookies, though, patently lying that he was not rewarding your self-destructive behaviors, Olive, but just perfecting my recipe. Olive ate them all and hugged him from behind while he sprinkled sea salt on top of the last batch. On Saturday, An came over for beer and s'mores, and she and Olive daydreamed about leaving academia and finding industry jobs that paid a proper salary and acknowledged the existence of free time.
We could, like, sleep in on Sunday mornings instead of having to check on our mice at 6 a.m.
Yeah, Anne sighed wistfully. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies was running in the background, but neither of them was paying attention.
We could buy real ketchup instead of stealing packets from Burger King and order that wireless vacuum cleaner I saw on TV.
Olive giggled drunkenly and turned to her side, making the bed squeak.
Seriously? A vacuum cleaner?
A wireless one. It's the shit, all.
That is...
What?
Just... Olive giggled some more. It's the most random thing.
Shut up. Anne smiled but didn't open her eyes. I have severe dust allergies. You know what, though?
Are you going to hit me with a Trivial Pursuit vacuum cleaner fact?
The corners of Anne's eyes crinkled. Nah, she said. I don't have any.
Wait.
I think that maybe the first female corporate CEO worked for a vacuum cleaner company.
No way. That is actually cool.
But maybe I'm making it up, Anne shrugged. Anyway, what I meant to say is, I think I still want it.
The vacuum cleaner?
Olive yawned without bothering to cover her mouth. No, an academic job, and everything that comes with it. The lab, the grad students, the outrageous teaching load, the race for the NIH grants, the disproportionately low salary, the whole shebang. Jeremy says that Malcolm has it right, that industry jobs are where it's at. But I think I want to stay and become a professor. It'll be miserable for sure, but it's the only way to create a good environment for women like us all. Give some competition to all these entitled white men. She grinned, beautiful and fierce. Jeremy can go into industry and make a ton of blood money that I'll invest in wireless vacuum cleaners. Olive drunkenly studied the drunken determination on Anne's drunken face, thinking that there was something reassuring in knowing that her closest friend was starting to figure out what she wanted her life to be like, who she wanted to live it with. It did send a pang deep in Olive's stomach, in that spot that seemed to feel Adam's absence most acutely. But she pushed it down, trying not to think about it too hard. Instead, she reached for her friend's hand, squeezed it once, and inhaled the sweet scent of apple from her hair.
You'll be so good at it, Anne. I can't wait to see you change the world.
All in all, Olive's life continued as it always had, except that for the first time, there was something else she'd rather be doing. Someone else she'd rather be with.
So, this is liking someone, she mused,
feeling like the biology building was not worth going to if Adam was out of town. Even the most remote chance of running into him had been taken away from her, constantly spinning around after catching a glimpse of jet black hair, or when hearing a deep voice that sounded as rich as Adam's, but really wasn't. Thinking of him because her friend Jess mentioned planning a trip to the Netherlands, or when, on Jeopardy, the correct answer to acmophobia turned out to be, what is fear of needles? Feeling stuck in an odd limbo, waiting... just waiting, waiting, for nothing. Adam was going to come back in a few days, and Olive's lie that she was in love with someone else was still going to be there. September 29th would arrive all too soon, and anyway, the assumption that Adam could ever see Olive in any romantic light was preposterous. All considered, she was lucky he liked her enough to want to be her friend. On Sunday, her phone pinged while she was running at the gym. When Adam's name popped up at the top of the screen, she immediately jumped to read it. Except that there wasn't much to read. Just the image of a huge drink in a plastic cup, topped with what looked like a muffin. The bottom of the image proudly stated, "Pumpkin Pie Frappuccino," and below that, Adam's text. Adam,
think I can smuggle this on the plane?
She didn't need to be told that she was grinning at her phone like an idiot. Olive.
Well, TSA is notoriously incompetent.
Olive. Though maybe not that incompetent? Adam.
Too bad.
Adam.
Wish you were here then.
Olive's smile stayed in place for a long time, and then, when she remembered the mess she was in, it faded into a heavy sigh. She was carrying a tray of tissue samples to the electron microscope lab when someone patted her on the shoulder, startling her. Olive nearly tripped and destroyed several $1,000s worth of federal grant funding. When she turned, Dr. Rodriguez was staring at her with his usual boyish grin, like they were best buddies about to go for a beer and a jolly good time, instead of a PhD student and a former member of her advisory committee who'd never quite gotten around to reading any of the paperwork she'd turned in. Dr. Rodriguez. His brow wrinkled.
I thought we'd settled on Holden.
Had they? Right, Holden. He smiled, pleased.
Boyfriend's out of town, huh?
Oh, yes.
Are you going in there?
He pointed at the microscope lab with his chin, and Olive nodded.
Here, let me get it.
He swiped his badge to unlock the door and held it open for her. Thank you. She settled her samples on a bench and smiled gratefully, sliding her hands into her back pockets. I was going to get a cart, but I couldn't find one.
There's only one left on this floor. I think someone's bringing them home and reselling them.
He grinned, and Malcolm was right. Had been right for the past 2 years. There really was something easygoing and effortlessly attractive about Holden. Not that Olive seemed to be interested in anything but tall, broody, sullen hunks with genius IQs.
Can't blame him. I'd have done the same in my grad school days. So, how's life?
Fine. You? Holden ignored her question and casually leaned against the wall.
How bad is it?
Bad?
Adam being gone. Hell, even I miss that little shit.
He chuckled.
How are you holding up?
Oh. She took her hands out of her pockets, crossed her arms in front of her chest, and then changed her mind and dropped them woodenly by her sides. Yep, perfect. Acting natural. Fine. Good. Busy. Holden looked genuinely relieved.
Great. Have you guys been talking on the phone?
No, of course not. Talking on the phone is the hardest, most stressful thing in the world, and I can't do it with a nice lady who schedules my dental cleanings, let alone with Adam Carlson. Mostly texting, you know?
Yeah, I do know. However buttoned up and sulky Adam is with you, please know that he's making an effort, and he's a million times worse with everyone else, me included.
He sighed and shook his head, but there was a fondness behind it, an easy affection that Olive couldn't miss. My oldest friend, he'd said about Adam, and clearly he hadn't been lying.
He's actually gotten a lot better since you guys started dating.
Olive felt on the verge of a full-body cringe, unsure of what to say. She settled for a simple, painful, awkward, really? Holden nodded.
Yep. I'm so glad he finally scrounged up the courage to ask you out. He'd been going on and on about this amazing girl for years, but he was concerned about being in the same department. And you know how he is.
He shrugged and waved his hand.
I'm glad he finally managed to pull his head out of his ass.
Olive's brain stuttered. Her neurons went sluggish and cold, and it took her several seconds to process that Adam had been wanting to ask her out for years. She couldn't wrap her head around it because it was not possible. It didn't make sense. Adam didn't even remember Olive existed before she'd Title IX'd him in the hallway a few weeks ago. The more she thought about it, the more she grew convinced that if he'd had any recollection of their bathroom meeting, he would have said as much. Adam was famously direct, after all. Holden must have been referring to someone else, and Adam must have feelings for that someone. Someone he worked with? Someone who was in their department? Someone who was amazing. Olive's mind, half frozen until a few seconds ago, began to spiral with the knowledge. Setting aside the fact that this conversation was an utter invasion of Adam's privacy, Olive couldn't stop herself from considering the implications of their arrangement for him. If the person Holden was talking about was one of Adam's colleagues,
There was no chance that she hadn't heard about Adam and Olive dating. It was possible that she'd seen the two of them get coffee together on a Wednesday, or Olive sitting on Adam's lap during Tom's talk, or, God, Olive slathering him with sunblock at that godforsaken picnic, which couldn't be good for his prospects. Unless Adam didn't mind, because he was sure beyond any doubt that his feelings were unrequited. And oh, wouldn't that be funny? About as funny as a Greek tragedy. Anyway, Holden pushed away from the wall, his hand coming up to scratch his nape.
I think we should go on a double date one of these days. I've been taking a break from dating, too much heartache, but maybe it's time to dip my toes in again. Hopefully I'll snatch myself a boyfriend soon.
The weight in Olive's stomach sank even lower. That would be lovely, she attempted a smile.
Right, he grinned. Adam would hate it with the intensity of 1,000 suns.
He really would.
But I could tell you so many juicy stories about him, approximately aged 10 to 25.
Holden was delighted at the prospect.
He'd be mortified.
Are they about taxidermy?
Taxidermy?
Nothing, just something Tom had said about. She waved her hand. Nothing.
Holden's gaze turned sharp.
Adam said you might be going to work with Tom next year. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, that's the plan. He nodded, pensive, then seemed to come to some sort of decision and added,
Watch your back while you're around him, okay?
My back? What? Why? Did this have anything to do with what Adam had mentioned? Holden not liking Tom? What do you mean?
Adam's back, too. Especially Adam's back.
Holden's expression remained intense for a moment and then lightened up.
Anyway, Tom only met Adam in grad school, but I was there in his teenage years. That's when the good stories are from.
Oh, you probably shouldn't tell me, since he's faking a relationship with me and surely doesn't want me in his business. Also, he's probably in love with someone else.
Oh, of course. I'll wait until he's present. I want to see his face when I tell you everything about his newsboy cap phase.
She blinked. His. He nodded solemnly and stepped out, closing the door behind him and leaving her alone in the chilly, semi-dark lab. Olive had to take several deep breaths before she could focus on her work. When she received the email, she initially thought it must be an error. Maybe she'd misread. She hadn't been sleeping well, and as it turned out, having an unwanted, unreciprocated crush came with all sorts of scatterheadedness. Though after a second look, then a third, and a fourth, she realized that wasn't the case. So maybe the mistake was on the SBD conference's side, because there was no way, absolutely no way, that they'd really meant to inform her that the abstract she'd submitted had been selected to be part of a panel. A panel with faculty. It was just not possible. Graduate students were rarely selected for oral presentations. Most of the time, they just made posters with their findings. Talks were for scholars whose careers were already advanced. Except that when Olive logged into the conference website and downloaded the program, her name was there. And out of all the speakers' names, hers was the only one not followed by any letters. No MD, no PhD, no MD-PhD. Crap. She ran out of the lab, clutching her laptop to her chest. Greg gave her a dirty look when she almost crashed into him in the hallway, but she ignored him and stormed inside Dr. Aslan's office, out of breath, her knees suddenly made of jelly.
Can we talk?
She closed the door without waiting for an answer. Her advisor looked up from behind her desk with an alarmed expression.
Olive,
what is? I don't want to give a talk. I can't give a talk.
She shook her head, trying to sound reasonable but only managing, panic-stricken and frantic.
I can't.
Dr. Aslan cocked her head and steepled her hands. The veneer of calm her advisor projected was usually comforting, but now it made Olive want to flip the nearest piece of furniture.
Calm down. Deep breaths. Use your mindfulness and all that stuff Malcolm's always yapping his mouth about. Dr. Aslan, my SBD abstract was accepted as a talk. Not as a poster, a talk. Out loud. On a panel. Standing. In front of people. Olive's voice had made its way to a shriek. And yet, for reasons beyond understanding, Dr. Aslan's face split into a grin.
This is wonderful news.
Olive blinked, and then blinked again. It's not?
Nonsense.
Dr. Aslan stood and walked around her desk, running her hand up and down Olive's arm in what she clearly intended as a congratulatory gesture.
This is fantastic. A talk will give you much more visibility than a poster. You might be able to network for a postdoctoral position. I am so, so happy for you.
Olive's jaw dropped. But? I cannot give a talk. I can't talk.
You're talking right now, Olive.
Not in front of people.
I am people.
You're not many people, Dr. Aslan. I can't talk in front of a lot of people. Not about science.
Why?
Because my throat will dry up and my brain will shut down and I will be so bad that someone from the audience will take out a crossbow and shoot me in the kneecap. I'm not ready to speak in public.
Of course you are. You're a good public speaker.
I'm not. I stammer, I blush, I meander a lot, especially in front of large crowds and...
Olive. Dr. Aslan interrupted her with a stern tone. What do I always tell you?
Don't misplace the multi-channel pipette?
The other thing.
She sighed. Carry yourself with the confidence of a mediocre white man.
More than that, if possible, since there is absolutely nothing mediocre about you.
Olive closed her eyes and took enough deep breaths to pull herself back from the verge of a panic attack. When she opened them, her advisor was smiling encouragingly. Dr. Aslan? Olive grimaced. I really don't think I can do this.
I know you don't.
There was some sadness in her expression.
But you can, and we'll work together until you feel up to the task.
This time, she put both her hands on Olive's shoulders. Olive was still hugging her laptop to her chest, like she would a life buoy in the open sea, but the touch was oddly comforting.
Don't worry. We have a couple of weeks to get you ready.
You say that. You say we. But I'll be the one to speak in front of hundreds of people, and when someone asks a 3-minute-long question meant to get me to admit that deep down my work is poorly structured and useless, I'll be the one to crap her pants. Right. Olive had to force her head into an up-and-down motion and take a deep breath. She exhaled slowly. Okay.
Why don't you put together a draft? You could practice during the next lab meeting.
Another reassuring smile, and Olive was nodding again, not feeling reassured in the least.
And if you have any questions, I am always here.
Oh, I am so disappointed that I won't get to see your talk. You must promise to record it for me. It will be just as if I was there. Except that you won't be there, and I'll be alone, she thought bitterly, while closing the door of Dr. Aslan's office behind her. She slumped against the wall and squeezed her eyes shut, trying to quiet the agitated mess of thoughts fluttering inside her head. And then she opened them again when she heard her name in Malcolm's voice. He was standing in front of her with An, studying her with a half-amused, half-worried expression. They were holding Starbucks cups. The smell of caramel and peppermint wafted over, making her stomach churn.
Hey!
An took a sip of her drink. Why are you taking a standing?